good to have you here today as we gather for worship. And we will be watching a video as part of our World Mission Offering promotion this week. And in fact, the coming 3 weeks, Sundays in October, we'll be watching a video each week as promoting our offering. So that's, and there is an insert also in the bulletin today, just calling your attention to that. But do want to extend a special welcome to those who may be visiting today. I want to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel. On the back page of the bulletin, you will note the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just want to call your attention to it, especially that our monthly worship service at Glenridge Nursing Center will be held this coming Tuesday, and also Friday is our feeding ministry, our monthly feeding ministry with Bread of Life, and we will need cakes donated for that. Also, you'll note underneath the calendar there's an announcement about flower bulb sale for the Refugee Immigration Ministry, and that orders are being taken through next Sunday, the 18th, and the orders may be picked up here at church the following Sunday, the 25th. So if you would like to order bulbs, there is an order form on the desk near the coffee table in Judson Chapel. Also, on that desk, there is the White Cross requests for our American Baptist missionaries, both international and national missionaries. There are requests there. If you'd like to sign up for something to purchase and bring in, we invite you to do that as well. Also, during coffee hour, we are not giving money. Our donations for coffee hour during October and November is going to the Penny Project, and that will be on the table as well for any of your gifts for that. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 624 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from both the Old and New Testaments as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have asked of him. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I will say of the Lord, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge.
The Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord is the sun.
Our opening hymn this morning is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 625. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
taught us, O God, you have brought us, O God, to another Lord's Day, and we are privileged to worship you and to spend these moments in prayer. We ask, O God, that our hearts and minds may be open to the movement of your Spirit in and among us today. As your love grows within us, may we have rich fellowship with you and with one another. We ask this all in Christ's name, and now join in the prayer that he taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, that we will be watching a video now about our World Mission offering. There is more information on the bulletin insert today, but I invite you to watch this, and it'll take just a moment for me to get it set up.
How many schools do you know that have a nationally known Christian singer perform every week and offer practical biblical teaching? How many elementary school students do you know whose competitive chess team is coached by an international expert? How many schools do you know whose children went to summer Bible camp where 115 out of 120 students made decisions for Christ? These are the amazing things happening at a single elementary school in northeastern Hungary. One of 49 schools now being run by International Ministries partner, Hungarian Baptist Aid. How did this happen? In this formerly communist-run country, the now democratic Hungarian government has opened the door for churches to manage many of the public schools. Can you imagine that? Public schools run by Christian organizations? In faith, IM's Baptist partner jumped right in. Since then, academic standards have increased. Christian outreach has been introduced. Student talents are being recognized and developed. School chaplains are helping students, and in some cases, even parents with spiritual issues. And listen to this. Since Baptist started directing his school, Principal Laszlo Petor and his family have come to faith in Jesus. He now sees each child as a gift to be treasured, and his newfound love has made a difference.
God was missing for a long time. We were teachers. We are not allowed to talk about God. Now we are free to do so. And that's a good thing.
All around the world, International Ministries is helping Hungarian Baptist Aid and more than 200 other partner organizations make a real difference in people's lives. Only through your gifts to the World Mission Offering is IM able to support global Christian partners and recruit and train new global workers. Your gifts to International Ministries are crucial as we seek to continue bringing the love of Christ to the children and families in Hungary and all around the world. Give generously to this year's World Mission Offering. Place your gift in Jesus' hands and see what more he can do.
watch the video, we often take for granted about going to be able to go to school, be able to come to church. That school, because of the freedoms they have, are able to talk about Jesus in school, which we can't do here unless we're in a private school that allows that. In public schools, we can't. But right there, we see how our mission dollars are being used overseas to share the love of Jesus with people that we'll never understand, we'll never meet, we'll never get to probably, you know, talk with them. But did you see, did they look unhappy of going to school? No, they look happy, didn't they? Do you look happy when you go to school? Sometimes, sometimes not. But that's, you know, that's your job right now, is to go to school and to learn and to be educated so that, you know, you can go to the next grade and next grade until you, then you'll be able to work someday. And that's, I mean, that's the purpose, you know, of being educated, being able to learn something. And they look very excited about that. And that's one way that our gifts to the World Mission Offering that go beyond the United States and Puerto Rico to other lands. Right now they're focusing on Hungary. This year our focus is on Hungary and how our mission dollars in partnership with Baptists that are there. We're not sending just our missionaries there, but we're working with Baptists that are already there, supporting their ministry and their work. And today we'll be watching a school and how the children there were enjoying going to school and learning and also becoming knowledgeable and accepting Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So that's a very important thing. And that's what we can do with our mission dollars to the World Mission Offering. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we thank you for all the people that we saw in the video today, especially the children, Lord, and that, you know, how happy they were to be able to go to school and to learn. Lord, we just pray that our gifts to the World Mission Offering may support those people there and as well as others. We thank you, Lord, for all of our blessings, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an opportunity now to share our celebrations and our concerns with one another as we go to God in prayer. We want to continue to remember Peggy Blum as she continues to recuperate at home. And we want to keep Lana and Dorothy in prayer as they are in Jamaica now. Lana called me, whatever day it was, Wednesday, late afternoon, and said, "We're here. We made it safely. You know, we held each other's hands on the plane, and but they're doing well." And just we want to keep them in prayer as they are, you know, committing their sister Lucille's earthly remains to their final resting place in Jamaica and her homeland. So we just want to, you know, keep them in prayer today. Also, I heard from Mona Hatch, and she's been having some medical tests and some health issues. So we want to keep Mona in prayer today. Also, we want to, Betty Hickey mentioned to me this morning that she and Jim, her and Jim's daughter, Cheryl Ann, and her husband, Henry Fleming, will be celebrating their 34th wedding anniversary next weekend. So that's a wonderful celebration. So I want to keep the Flemings in prayer today. And, you know, as far as, you know, national things, we want to continue to pray for the victims of floods in South Carolina and along the south, in the southeast, of just, you know, watching the pictures and just seeing the rooftop above the waters and how deep that is. And I did flood relief one summer. It was several months after the floodwaters had receded, and it's just, we were digging mud out of bathrooms in the basement 8 months after the flood. And so I can just imagine what fresh, you know, debris is like. So we want to keep those folks in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer, celebrations, or concerns? Barbara? Well, today? Today. So Barbara and David's 47th wedding anniversary today, and they're spending it apart, at least for part of the day. David's in intensive care after a quadruple bypass surgery yesterday. Both of you in prayer, and especially David with his health concern. Pray for a speedy recovery. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Mark? So we want to keep Jake in prayer and you know, the team that's working. And if somebody would like to make a donation to Mark and Dottie's for their work next week, I'm sure they would be glad to receive that. But you know, we want to lift up the autism, you know. Okay, this church has donated over $2,000 over the years to Autism Speaks. Is that Autism Speaks? Fundraising effort for autism. You're very welcome. So we want to keep you in prayer. You won't be here next week, so I want to keep you in prayer as you're out walking. Anyone else have a prayer request today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, it is good to be able to come to your house this day, to spend these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, for some of us, we have nowhere else to turn. With some of our joys and some of our concerns that we just feel friends and family members maybe have heard it already or wouldn't understand. And so we turn to you, O God, and we thank you that you are always there for us. As we come, O God, we open our hearts and our minds and pray that your Spirit will fill us and move among us, that we may be different people having been here today, having worshiped you, having been in fellowship with other believers and others who may be seeking you this day. Lord, as we come, we have lifted up our requests for prayer. We've also spoken to you in silence and privately, and now we gather in our thoughts and prayers together corporately, and we lift up those who are ill today and injured and pray for speedy healing in their lives according to your will. Lord, we pray for those who are in mourning today, missing a loved one who's passed away, and just pray for your healing touch and your comfort of spirit to be with them as well. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling, that they may have, you know, traveling mercies and arrive at their destinations safely. We pray for those who are raising money, and we think of Autism Speaks next week, and we've had breast cancer fundraisers and Bread of Life fundraisers, and it seems like the October weekends are just filled with walks and runs and other fundraising efforts to for all good causes. And Lord, we pray for all who are participating in those, that they may, you know, participate well, that they may, you know, complete their tasks. We pray for those that are supporting them as well and that are generous with their gifts. Oh God, we pray for the causes that are being highlighted and being supported through the fundraising efforts as well. Lord, we just thank you that there are so many people that care about others that become involved in all of these different efforts. Lord, we do turn our thoughts and prayers to our neighbors in South Carolina, where flooding has been taking place, and the devastation that some we've seen and some we can only imagine what will be coming forth in the coming weeks and months. They begin to rebuild as the waters recede. Lord, we also pray for those who are suffering from other storms, whether they've been remnants of a hurricane, whether it's been from high winds knocking out power, knocking down trees. Lord, from the wildfires in the West as well, we just pray for those who are called and accept the challenge to go in and help those who are hurting, those who are in danger. Lord, this day we also celebrate the sanctity of marriage. And we've mentioned two that are celebrating anniversaries this week. And Lord, just pray for them that they may continue to be blessed. And pray for others, Lord, that are contemplating commitment of marriage, as well as those who have already done that and are celebrating in their unitedness. Lord, you have called us to not be alone, but to be with one another, to be in relationship. We thank you for that. And thank you most of all, O Lord, for the relationship we have that's offered through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of these things. Amen. We've mentioned many different ways of donating money today, whether it's for the Penny Project, the World Mission Offering, Autism Speaks, or some other fundraiser that may be going on. But right now, we have an opportunity to offer to God our tithes and our gifts. A thank you to God for the ways that God has blessed us in all of our life. So at this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. We do pray that your Spirit would come upon these gifts and bless them and bless us, that we may be wise stewards of these gifts and all that you've blessed us with, and we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, especially those who have not heard of him before, that they too may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Thank you. Scripture this morning is taken from Job, chapter 23, various verses. Then Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give heed to me. There an upright person could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Only I could vanish in darkness, and thick darkness would cover my face."
Thank you, Cindy. Let's pray together. Lord, we hear the anguish words recorded in Job, and we can identify sometimes with those feelings, O Lord, of feeling lost, feeling alone, feeling separated from you, not knowing where you are. And Lord, our faith tells us that you've gone nowhere, but that we have moved someplace in the distance. But this day, O Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you, that we may ponder our feelings, our questions that we have of you. Not that we may find answers today, that we may grow and have a greater understanding of how to live with the unanswers that we have. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. A popular song from several years ago says, "If God had a name, what would it be? And would you call it to his face? If you were faced with him in all his glory, what would you ask if you had just one question?" Authors Paul Williams and Barry Cooper spent several years asking people that same question. If you could ask God one question and you knew that it would be answered, what would it be? They reveal the results. The 12 most frequently asked questions about God in their book. And they provide some answers to those questions. Their list includes the following questions. If you're really there, God, why on earth don't you prove it? Isn't the Bible a bunch of made-up stories? All good people go to heaven, right? If you're a God of love, why send anyone to hell? If Jesus really was your son, how come he got killed? If I can be forgiven everything, doesn't that mean I can do whatever I like? How can anyone be sure there's life after death? What about followers of other religions? Isn't faith just a psychological crutch? Why do you allow suffering? Why do you hate sex? And why don't you just do a miracle? Let's put ourselves in that scene. Imagine that you could be transported to heaven for an hour to talk face to face with God, with the assurance that God would answer one question for you. What question would you ask? Perhaps you'd ask one of the top dozen questions those authors compiled. Or maybe you'd want to be a little more specific. and inquire along these lines. Why am I suffering from, and you fill in the blank with whatever disease or injury that you may be suffering from at the moment. Why did my child or grandchild or sibling have to die? Why can't we have wisdom when we are young and would really benefit from it? Why the earthquakes in Nepal, the wildfires in California, or the flooding in South Carolina? Why the evil and brutality of ISIS? Why the unending conflict in the Middle East? Why do you allow Boko Haram to kill hundreds of innocent women and girls? Why the Holocaust, the Rwandan genocide, the Khmer Rouge slaughter of millions? There's almost no limit to the questions we'd like to ask God, and not just out of idle curiosity. Many of us are experiencing some pain or grief common with other humans. We're invested in the questions that we would ask, and we think that God's answer might help us deal with what we cannot avoid. Take a moment and envision yourself before God with your questions. I imagine that most of us would be filled with passion as we pose our inquiries. There might even be some palpable anger, which may make us look like one of our spiritual ancestors who also had questions for God, a man named Job. In the Old Testament book named for him, we find Job and his friends are full of questions. Chapter 23 of Job is part of a larger section, including the next chapter, in which the suffering Job responds to his friends, who are pressing him to repent of the sins they believe he must have committed. They see his losses and misery as evidence that he has done something wrong and being punished by God. Job maintains his innocence. But here he also laments that there's no place where he can put his case before God to receive a verdict of not guilty. He says, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn what he would answer me." In other words, Job wants his hour with God and wants God to answer a question for him. And Job seems confident that if he could only get such an audience, that he would be acquitted. If we read the whole book of Job, we find that while God does eventually respond to Job, God never answers Job's question. But isn't that how it is for us with many of the questions that we have also? God's simply not going to answer them, at least not to our satisfaction. So what can we understand from this? There are two possible conclusions, at least two. Either there are no answers to our questions, or someone higher than us knows the answers. And if the latter is the case, which I believe, then we must proceed through life on the basis of faith in that someone who has those answers. The poet Rainer Maria Rilke said, "Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign language. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. That's very poetic from that poet, but what does it mean to live into the questions? An unidentified author writing on the Cointelligence Institute website tells of being in a dialogue group several years ago where one of the exercises was a conversation consisting entirely of questions. You can wrap your head around that, having a conversation where only questions could be asked. The participants could talk on any topic that came up, but could only ask questions, not make any statements. The author says that she found the experience to be profoundly transformative. She said that in such an exercise, several different types of questions will arise, including, quote, statements masquerading as questions, rhetorical questions, open-ended questions, questions that simply direct attention, strategic questions, questions that modify, overlap, or focus on some portion of another question, or link the issues of a previous question to another area of inquiry, etc. She added, powerful questions simultaneously open up and focus our attention. The author also writes that the exercise is a great opportunity to explore what relationship we can have to questions other than answering them. Ultimately, questions can take us deeper into the meaning of our lives. That is, we don't necessarily have to have the answer in order for our questions to push out the boundaries of our lives. When we live the questions in our conversations, wrote this author, we are in dialogue with the people around us. When we live the questions as a way of life, we are in dialogue with life itself. In that regard, she said, living a question is like living with a fruit tree that continually generates fruit, in this case, insights for our nourishment. There is never anything final about a particular apple from an apple tree. More will follow. They don't answer. They just nourish. And they're full of seeds as well. Some Christian groups use or have used questions for guidance on the spiritual journey. In history, the early Methodists had their class meetings where converts were divided into groups of 12 to 15 people, with one layperson designated as the leader. The classes were not study groups, but accountability clusters. When they met weekly, they would go around the circle with the leader asking each one in turn how his or her experience of living the Christian life had gone that week. Each would tell of the spiritual victories and spiritual failures that occurred since they last met. The group would pray together for one another, encourage one another, advise one another, and generally help each other by holding each other accountable to do their best to follow Jesus in the coming week. But all of that began with questioning each person's progress. Many historians agree that the class meetings were a major source of the vitality of the early Methodists. Quakers still have what they call queries, a series of questions used for individual and collective reflection, spiritual growth, and prayer. Historically, at least, one purpose of queries was to check how members of the fellowship were upholding the already agreed-upon testimonies. One man named Martin Grundy, who is a Quaker, tells of his experience, of one of his experiences. He writes, the most recent query we discussed came at the end of a rather tedious, long-winded, not particularly well-grounded meeting for business. The query we were considering was simply, how do we recognize what we are called to be obedient to? As people spoke to it, the silence deepened and lengthened between speakers. And finally, the speaking ceased altogether, and we were wrapped together in quietness and love. The clerk ended the meeting, he writes, but we were loath to leave. We were in the presence of God, found it good. In the end, perhaps that's what we should expect from our questions for God. Not answers, but a dialogue with life and the experiences of God's presence in our daily grind. Job had a question for God and got no immediate response or answer. In fact, when God does eventually respond to Job, God overpowers Job with divine authority and answers the afflicted man's question with further questions. For example, in Job 38, we find God asking Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" In other words, who are you to question me? Job remained convinced that God was real. Even through his suffering, God was there for whatever reason he was made to suffer. And through this confrontation with God, this pleading and yearning, suffering, he was helped by God. As followers of Jesus Christ, the answer to Job's question of why God permits suffering comes to us only in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul writes, "Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Author and theologian N.T. Wright points out that even Jesus does not explain why there is suffering, illness, and death in the world. He brings healing and hope. He does not allow the problem of evil to be the subject of a dialogue or even a seminar. He allows evil to do its worst to him, but Christ exhausts it, drains its power, and emerges with new life. The answer to Job's question comes not in words at all, but in the form of a word with a capital W, and that word is love. May that word provide comfort, challenge, and courage to us as we live with our wonderment in the sometimes difficult days of our lives. And may we be drawn ever closer to the word that was made flesh for us. Our specific questions for God may not be answered to our satisfaction, but through the Holy Spirit, we have a guide for all of our days. Let's pray together. Lord, how many times have we said, "I want to ask God that question"? Some of us may have said, "Why doesn't God answer me?" Lord, we come to you, and we remember the prayer of Jesus in the garden as he poured out his heart to you. But then the ultimate part of his prayer was, "But not my will, but your will be done." Lord, we pray that that may be our prayer as well. Even as we open our hearts to you, we unburden ourselves at times. We may rage at you. But Lord, we pray that our prayer may always conclude with, "Not our will, but your will be done for our lives." Help us to look to Jesus, how he fulfilled your desires for the world, paying the price for our sins, that we may have a relationship, not just temporary, but for all eternity with you. It's in his name that we ask this prayer. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Sweet Hour of Prayer, number 632. Time of worship with the words of the Apostle Paul. Go forth into the world in peace. Let your love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Labor for God's reign in all that you do, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.